Today I'm joined by Dan Besseris. We made it. It's been a few weeks in the planning. Life happens, especially in December. I know over here life very busy in December. We are going to go through some questions. This is the Balls Deep podcast. Let's go.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. Say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy. That's all that I need.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm your host, Adam King. Find me on Twitter and on Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere, everywhere. Please go and find us and like us and subscribe to us. We are also part of the Old Man Squad, and I'm going to bring in the old man. He can plug it himself. Dan Besseris, thank you for jumping back on the show.
People think I'm dancing right now, but that's actually just old man stretches, as you see. Yeah. Hey, thanks for having me. I know that I am extraordinarily annoying to try to lock down at a time, and I appreciate everybody dealing with my BS. So thank you is the short version of that. Thank you.
No, look, I remember the days of having kids who relied on me or us almost 24/7. So yeah, no need to apologize. What's happening at Old Man Squad? I mean, let people know. I usually give a very, very brief plug and tell people to go and annoy you and bother you. So
yeah, bother away. That's, you know, we're just sort of just chunking along here, trying my best. This is like my 1 year trial run on doing a million things. That's my goal, is try to do a million things to really get word out about the Old Man Squad network that I founded back in May or June. I've sort of lost track. It's been about half a year. But yeah, folks can find me on social. I can point them in the right direction. We have the Old Man Squad YouTube feed, which is growing nicely these days, and you are a frequent member of. So yeah, all's well. We're just, you know, basketball's going, so we're just kind of in the grind right now.
That's right. Now, we do have a guest on today's show. Now, we posted this as a mailbag show, and we do have questions. But I'm bringing him in. He's your friend.
Oh, nice surprise. You guys got me. Adam told me that something was going to happen, and I was like, man, who the heck did they get? Like some childhood friend? But this is like basically a childhood friend for fantasy sports. Boggs, I miss you, buddy.
What is going on? Yes, Adam has been setting this up for a long time. He hit me up a while ago. My schedule has just been crazy. So thank you so much to Adam for setting this up. And Dan, it's great to see you, man. I know things have been rocking and rolling for you, the most popular man in fantasy basketball. And I just, you know, I am excited to talk to you a little bit here. What's been going on, man?
Oh my God, I miss you so, Bugs. So I know a lot of people probably remember this, but just for those that don't, we used to have the real big three, Bogman. That was your creation. It was me, you, Jonas Nader, and like the world has been clamoring for a return of the real big three. But you guys don't do basketball anymore.
I mean, I don't do any basketball anymore. I am like, you know how you gave up baseball when the Bakersfield Blaze punched out? That's kind of how I've been. My schedule is been crazy with all the baseball and the football. So and I live closer to my Rockets now, and I've gone to, you know, a handful of games since I've moved to Texas, but not as many as I should, and they're good now, actually. So third in the West. So but yeah, I just thank you, Adam, for setting this up. It's been he's been trying to make this happen for a while.
Sneaky devil, that Kingy. Sneaky devil.
Yeah, it was we'll call it a Christmas miracle. We're close enough to Christmas. I think we can call it a Christmas miracle. So I did post this as a mailbag show, part of the facade for so Dan wouldn't suspect anything. So we do have a lot of mailbag questions, but so apologies to people who send in questions. I will do a show to answer those questions. But Bogman has come with his own questions. But and this is coming from, as you said to me in our chat, someone who knows nothing about basketball at the moment. So we have questions, and I think they were submitted by
it's a friend of mine, Chris Young. He's actually going to be starting a podcast himself, I believe, after the new year, called Duncan Disorderly. He's a huge basketball fan, big Mavericks fan from St. Louis, obviously not a team in St. Louis. So huge Mavericks fan, big Luka fan. So he gave me some questions, but I want to start with a couple here. That has not changed, by the way. The cat still invades the screen whenever he feels like it. But I really punched out kind of around 2019-ish. I think that was the last finals I watched was when the Raptors beat the Warriors, like all the way through. I've watched a bunch of the finals, but not like laser focused. You know what I mean? They've kind of been on in the background while I'm doing work for something else. But what has changed the most in fantasy basketball from that time to right now, Dan? Because we had the obviously the COVID season, the tournament in mid-season now is happening. So what has changed the most for fantasy in that 4 to 5 year time frame here?
Well, it's probably maybe a two-way tie between three-pointers not being even the tiniest bit rare anymore and making it to 75 games being incredibly rare now. But there are ways around it. And I want to try to avoid doing the, like, everybody's hurt all the time negativity spiel.
It's the old man podcast, is it not? Let's go.
But I'm like, I'm in my rocking chair. I got my Werther's Originals. I'm a contented old man right now in that I want to try to take that stuff and apply it in a way that keeps people engaged. So like on the injury thing, and I think we can all agree, everybody watching, that like the number of injuries is outrageous. That is a real thing. We can't not talk about it. But I actually think that it makes certain parts of it fun in that, yeah, it sucks to have your guy go down, but there's always like 25 random goobers on the waiver wire that are putting up huge numbers that if their team was healthy, they'd be playing 11 minutes and wouldn't be on a fantasy team. There's something weirdly satisfying about, you know, your Quentin Grimes 2-game stream, shout out to your boy and his Mavericks fandom, that wouldn't happen if Kyrie and Clay and, wait, I'm forgetting, there was one other guy that was out at the same time. Luka was first, but then he came back. If those guys weren't all out at the same time, nobody's picking up Quentin Grimes. So yeah, it sucks to have Kyrie out, or it sucks to have Luka out, but you got to go pick up Quentin Grimes for 2 games, and it's fun to roster churn. What about you, Kingy? Where are you sitting on that one?
Yeah, they're pretty obvious ones. And it does, as you said, it does, these injuries open up opportunities for other players that we would not have even considered coming into the season. And first player that comes to my mind is Goga Badadze, who, I mean, do you even know who he is, Bog?
Isn't he a center?
He is a center for Orlando. And with Franz now going down and Paolo Banchero going down, Wendell Carter going down, he moved into the starting lineup and they've just decided to keep him there for whatever reason. And he's had value. So I think the injuries, if we're trying to flip it, I think create a positive narrative for a lot of players. And I think probably since you sort of stepped away, Nikola Jokic has been the best player in fantasy.
No matter how disconnected you are.
No. And so he's sort of just, he's just been phenomenal over the last 4 years. And now we've got Wemby sort of coming in and challenging him for that title as best fantasy player. And your questions actually cover that. one of your questions, which we'll be getting to. And I don't know, are you happy? Do you want to jump into those questions now, or have you got another more overarching question for us?
What else have I missed, guys? Like, Dan, tell me the thing that I've missed that you're most disappointed that I have missed out on.
Oh, my God. I haven't the first foggy clue on that one.
I mean, James Harden leaving was that happened so quick for Houston because it was like
what year
fat
was that?
Suit. It was like fat suit happened or fat suit gate or whatever. Yeah. And then he's in Philly. You know what I mean? That went, and then the Rockets just tanked. The tickets were real cheap. I can tell you that much for a little bit. But
now they're good again. I don't know. Like I get so caught up in the minutia that I don't even pay attention to what the actual storylines are in the NBA. I got nothing, man. I got nothing. You've missed nothing.
This is blindsiding you a little bit. So, you know, you didn't get the flip for
these. Where do you even go? I don't know. Like, you know, you still do fantasy sports. It's just not basketball. When you're like in the day to day, you notice 9,000 things for every one.
And not the big picture. Right. You're too granular. Yeah, I understand that. I just need to know, are the pregnant pauses still a thing?
For me? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's never going away. Oh, yeah. I've been told that if you speed me up, that it also makes the music on my show sound extraordinarily funky. So I'm definitely not speeding up now, because if I mismatched and I got fast and the music didn't, then the whole thing gets blown to pieces. I am a baseball play-by-play broadcaster, and I will take breaks in the middle of thoughts if I so choose. It's never going away.
He learned from the best, from Vin Scully. So.
Yeah, like I did meet him one time. It was at a my father-in-law was at like a bar association thing, and he was like, "The keynote's gonna be Vinny. You got to come with me to this." And I was like, "I'm gonna hang out with a bunch of lawyers. This is gonna be a lot for me." And I'm sure I said something like, and then poor Fred.
And he said, "You understand that mumbling came from a game in 1922."
Yeah. Back in 1924. Yeah. He was very gracious, and he didn't mind the fact that I was like flop sweating all over him. So it was quite a day for me.
And the Dodgers won the World Series. Finally a real one, not a Mickey Mouse ring either.
But so, you didn't miss that because you pay attention to baseball.
Yeah, I didn't miss that, unfortunately. I had to see that. I did go and watch my team lose in the World Series the year before that. So I was at games 4 and 5, which they lost both. And, you know, just the way it goes. But sports are the same. No matter what you're watching, there is a lot of fun. There's a lot of heartbreak. And we try to enjoy it a little more with fantasy and some gambling and stuff.
I'm so happy to see your face, man.
I'm happy to see you too, my friend. I wish, you know, I really wish I was more prepared and had better questions and was in.
I have a question.
Sure, please.
Have you built on your piece of land yet?
My piece of land. Oh, I don't even know where the certificate for that piece of land is.
No, his lordship.
I am still a lord, of course, but I don't even know where my certification is. Are you drinking out of a what is that now?
That is a Cal Bears fake frosted mug that is just water.
I see. For now. It looked like a coffee pot you were drinking out of for a second.
I'm just a very small man. This is a normal size cup.
Okay.
Adam's been steamrolled in this show.
Was expecting. I was absolutely expecting it. So no issues. I'll just jump out.
Got catching up to do over here.
Yeah. No. I was fully prepared.
How long is your hair, Bogman?
My hair is probably about a foot long right now.
Oh, that's substantial.
Yeah, I mean, if I undid it, it would take me about a day and a half to put it back together here. So, but yeah, it is very, very fro-y right now, and about you know, just a little bit past my shoulders.
That's a lot.
So, it's going to be about donating time, but I am. I'm getting on to the, speaking of time, I'm getting to the gray borderline of where I can donate my hair. You know, it has to be less than 10% gray.
No.
So
is that really a thing?
It is, but I think I have so much gray hair, but I also just have so much hair that I still think it's just less than 10%, but I am getting pretty close to that borderline where I won't be able to donate too much anymore because it is going too gray.
You'll be a silver fox. No question. Tell them to eat it. Oh, I want all that.
I passed that 10% when I was about 25.
Yeah. I have a cousin who went silver like completely at about that age as well. Yeah. So this is I'm getting it more in my beard, but you can't really tell because, again, just so much hair. But yeah, the mirror doesn't lie. I can tell you that much when I see it. So, yeah.
Be grateful.
Like that plucking thing that, that everyone says is a myth. I feel like that's not really a myth. That's true. You that, try to get rid of them, the grays by plucking them, you just two more come up.
Yeah, unquestionably. So I'll take the two, though, if you guys, because all I do when I look in the mirror is my forehead gets a tiny bit bigger every single day. What happened?
No receding hairline. That I don't think that'll be. My grandfather was 90 when he passed, and he still had hair. So I don't.
My dad was bald. My grandfathers on both sides were bald. There is no amount of finasteride and minoxidil that I can course through my veins to push the hair back.
Is that what LeBron is doing?
Unquestionably. Although maybe he got plugs. Look, I'm not too big of a man to admit that at some point I'm probably gonna go get hair plugs. I don't care. And you guys can all know it. There's like a list. My wife and I have a list of like cosmetic things that we want to get done when various financial thresholds are met. And so I decided to work in fantasy sports so that we can never do any of them. and hers first one for her was like fixing a tooth that was a little wonky. She could, like, you know, who wears their retainers after braces for 30 years? Nobody.
Right.
So she got that because that was affordable. And my carpool buddy from high school is now our family dentist because, you know, we're old people now. But mine, like my list, hair is in there. And then I don't know. Does vasectomy count as cosmetic?
No.
Yeah. Thank you, Adam. That's a different bucket. It's coming out of a different bucket.
This was not in my mailbag, by the way. Just so everybody knows, these were not among my mailbag questions.
I'm putting my genitalia straight into the mailbag today. That's what's happening.
Sir, this is a Wendy's. You can't do that here. This is what we've been missing right here.
Why doesn't Adam hit the mute button on us? I just don't know.
No, I couldn't do that.
Adam used to hang out with us when we did the show anyway, every single time, I feel like.
I know, but this is his channel now that we've
completely
I have completely soiled this channel with my
I beg to differ. I think people are excited to hear about your genitals. We will find out.
You be careful what you wish for.
Oh, wow. I don't know how I got here and devolved the show.
What are we doing?
So much immediately. But yeah. So anyway, this is exactly what the Real Big Three was like. We talked about Dan's genitals for most of the show. So this is what we've been missing.
The Real Big Three.
Oh, I'm gonna have to change the title of this episode, aren't I? To the real big three. I don't know, something.
The show is called Balls Deep.
It is. It is true.
Oh God, you're never gonna do this again. Oh well.
Oh man. Yeah. Oh, well.
Good Lord.
Okay.
I do have questions.
We
are my friend Chris.
We do have questions. And I have created fancy banners. Look at that with Bogman's question. So you take the lead, good sir. These are your questions.
Yeah. So let's just start with the first one. With Luka and Kyrie healthy, is it time to sell high on PJ Washington?
I can jump in on that one because I'm a PJ truther this year. So I feel like I gotta take this one. No is my take, but it's sort of a nuanced no, and it's mostly a no because I don't think anybody's going to give you anything better than like a 90 range guy, and I think he can very easily do that even when the team is healthy. The usage definitely went up when one or the other of Luka and Kyrie were out, and yes, that's how he pushed from, you know, 80 ish up to 60 ish. If you can get a 60 range guy back for him, then you definitely do it. I just don't think you're going to be able to pull that off. So I'll sit on him with the added caveat that I think Luka and Kyrie are going to each miss, I would think, at least another 10 games apiece the rest of this year. I don't know if they're going to coincide or not, but you're talking about, I think, a solid 20 games where PJ is going to get that bump in usage again. So I'm in on PJ Washington. I think between the healthy Mavs days and the not quite healthy Mavs days, he can still hang in that sort of 70 to 90 window. And so I'm sticking with it. I like PJ this year.
Adam, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. And I think that, I mean, we've seen this for years, but especially this year, that even when Luka and Kyrie play and the usage might be down for PJ, he finds a way, he gets rebounds, he gets defensive stats, he does other things. We haven't seen many games where he does both, where he's good offensively and defensively. But in those games when he is 2 of 9 and only gets you 6 points, he'll get 3 blocks, 3 steals, and 8 rebounds. So, I like PJ. As you said, I don't think you can really sell high enough on him to warrant moving him. So I'm happy to roll with him, and I am in, I think, in one league, two leagues. I don't know. Couple of the spots.
Yeah, you I'm sure. So many leagues. That's how I am as well with baseball. How about OG with the Knicks? Are we selling high on him?
He's a tough one. I've got him everywhere this year. And I do think that he had that really, he had a very, very hot offensive run. It was, I don't know if you remember, Dan, was it about 4 games, 5 games where he had 40 points?
Yeah.
I think he had a 30-point game, 20. And it was relatively early in the season. And I think this happened with a few players. I've talked about it ad nauseum this season. That another one was Bilal Coulibaly, where they have a week of hot offensive performances and everyone's bar goes up. Now we expect this from so everyone was on this OG train of, well, he's going to average 25 a game. He's going to be a top 30 player. But if you remember back 2 weeks when we drafted him, we did not have these expectations and we should not have these expectations moving forward. So I think if you could move him, I'd always consider selling high if I could move someone for a range that I thought was value. But I'm happy with OG because I drafted him at about pick 80 and he's outperforming that. So I'm happy to just roll with OG.
I think I'm probably going to inch just because you know me and my pussyfooting around on stuff. I'm going to inch a tiny bit closer to sell on Anunoby just for a couple of small things. Number one being, we really haven't seen him last a season since like 2017 or something like that. And right now he's playing the highest minute per game number he's had of any season in his entire career. And it just feels like under Tibbs, that's a ticking time bomb for a guy who wasn't healthy under like the second highest minute per game coaches in the NBA. And he was with Nick Nurse for a really long time. So it's more for me about the injury risk on him. And so far, he's been extraordinarily healthy. But the percentages are pretty repeatable right now. Like, he's almost dead on his last, like, 2 or 3 year rolling average of shooting percentages. His blocks are probably a bit high. Those will probably come down. But everything else is pretty close to where it's going to be. So for me, and again, it's going to come down to what you can get back for him. And right now, he's, you know, ranked in the third round range. If you get a third rounder, great. I would probably take a fourth rounder back for him that maybe doesn't have the same misses 25 games a year injury history. And obviously you're playing the odds. The guy you trade for could end up hurt and OG might not. But if you're just going sort of like the long term, which of these guys has the higher chance of missing 15, 20 games, it's probably OG. Still, I think there's something nice about, and I admittedly was actually too nervous. I didn't draft him that many spots because I was like, Tibbs is going to blow this dude up. And he is dominating right now. So give me something like 45 or better, and I'll move him. Anything outside the top 50, I'd probably just rather see how OG does.
How about Peyton Pritchard with the Celtics? Selling high?
Yeah, probably. And that one's a little bit of a different reason, I guess. I don't expect him to shoot 49% with his volume of 3-pointers all year. And again, he might prove me wrong. A lot of guys are crazy hot. You're also seeing the Celtics got Porzingis back super early, mind you. And I know they're going to be resting guys. And we saw a lot of that during their recent 5-game and 7-day stretch where basically everyone got at least 1 day off in there. But Pritchard, for me, it's more about opportunity getting a little bit smaller during the months where maybe they don't have, you know, 2 back-to-backs in a week. And also the fact that he's shooting 43% on high volume three-pointers. I just think that number comes down a bit for him. The other stuff is probably repeatable. So again, I'd be targeting, I think he's in ranked in the 50s right now, late 50s. He's right around 60, actually. I would go for, you know, 75, 85 range guys on the board that maybe they're a little more boring, which, okay, I got my old man.
No way, Dan likes a boring guy.
But that, I think, is an easier player to get back because other people might not trust Peyton Pritchard to do this all year. And you'd be like, well, you know, give me back like Tyus Jones, the epitome of boring assist-to-turnover point guard, who's number 72, and he'll just sort of quietly chunk along all year while Beal and Durant and eventually Booker all miss games here and there. But that's the kind of move I would think about making with Pritchard. Not going to score as much, not as flashy, but I think you could probably get him because people have been weirdly annoyed with Tyus Jones, and he's been quite good so far.
Are you selling too, Adam?
Yeah, I think so. And we know people are enamored by points when it comes to fantasy. So Peyton Pritchard having these 20-point games is very in your face and flashy and appealing, and Tyus Jones is not, because he does not do that. And I mean, you asked what has changed in fantasy. Dan liking old men, boring players has not changed.
That'll never change.
Absolutely not. Look, I'd probably try to look to sell high. I might reach a little bit higher and try aim for a top 60, top 70 player. If you can't do that, and it's probably a tough sell in a lot of leagues, I'd just be happy to hold him because I do think his role is relatively secure this year, and he probably ends up as a top 100 player. So considering you got him off waivers, I don't think he was drafted anywhere. You have to be pretty happy with the return on investment there for him.
All right, so I got some buy lows as well, Adam. Zubats with the Clippers, Keegan Murray with the Kings, Trey Murphy with the Pelicans. Are we buying low on any of these three?
You want this, Dan?
Oh, sorry. I thought he was bouncing straight back to you. So Zubats is a weird one because his low rank is tied almost exclusively to his suddenly punt free throw new persona. I don't like this new persona because if he was even just, you know, around 70% at the foul line, then we're talking about probably like a top 70, top 60 kind of range guy. And then we sort of wouldn't be having this conversation, but he has been terrible at the free throw line. I can't change what's happening.
This should be the thing that changed in fantasy is everybody should be better at free throws.
Yes, I agree.
Still has not changed.
Why? And guys develop these free throw brain issues and then they never go back to being able to make them again. So I don't know. I'm hoping that Zubats eventually gets that number at least into the 60s. So I guess if someone's pissed about the free throw stuff, you could try to go get him. I don't know if they're going to part with him because his other stuff has actually been pretty good. Keegan Murray is a small buy low. I didn't really want anything to do with him this season, but I do think the 42 and change field goal percent probably trends up a little bit. He's still their best defender, so his minutes aren't going anywhere. I don't know that the usage is going to improve much, especially now with Malik Monk in the starting five. There's just sort of less and less for him to do. But I would expect the field goal percent to trend into the mid 40s, and that probably pushes him kind of just inside the top 100. So if you can get him for the right price there. And then Murphy's an interesting one. I was just talking about him on another show. He actually hasn't been that bad this year, and people are really mad about it for some reason. This one I don't fully understand. I think he's like a sixth rounder in fantasy right now, and people are furious. There was the injury. Yeah, I get it. But like, he's at 18, 5, and 2 and change with almost 2 defensive stats and almost 3 threes a ball game. I would love to get my hands, as a phrasing, I would love to trade for Trey Murphy if I can get him, even for someone who's like equally valued on the board right now, because he still has more room to go up. I would love to get Trey Murphy on my fantasy team.
You buying any of these guys, Kingy?
Yeah, Zubats, yeah, I think, because as Dan said, this free throw thing is weird. You usually draft him as a big guy that can hit free throws. So not at 90% or anything, but he's relatively consistent. So yeah, Zubats, yes. Keegan Murray, no. I'm just not, I don't know. Keegan Murray is a little bit Jabari Smithy for me. Yeah. I just haven't seen the progression that we would have liked. And you would obviously understand when it comes to Jabari Smith that he probably hasn't taken those steps that we'd like to see, not consistently. Yes. But Trey Murphy, as Dan said, I think people are weirdly down on him, but I'd have to consider what we've seen from him as his floor, because the Pelicans are never healthy. Ingram's about to miss, well, we don't know, insert number here, a month maybe. Zion might never come back. So, Trey Murphy, I think if you can find a manager who has Trey Murphy and is frustrated for whatever reason, I'd absolutely throw out a top 60, top 70 player. And if I could get Trey Murphy back, I'd see that as a win, absolutely.
How about Malik Monk? Is this starting experiment going to last? And also, is Keon Ellis someone to stash and hold? We'll start with you on that one, King.
I didn't see them moving Monk into the starting line. I thought they just sort of really viewed him as the sixth man offensive sort of spark plug off the bench, which is what he's done. And he's flashed some nice playmaking upside as well over the last year and this year. And so as someone who can run that second unit, and this sort of ties into the whole Keegan Murray thing, I think, because with Malik Monk starting, Keegan Murray is often the fourth or fifth option. If you look at that starting lineup with DeMar DeRozan, De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk, you could argue that DeMontis Sabonis doesn't want to shoot the ball as much as those guys, but he often ends up shooting the ball as much as those guys out of necessity. I think the results might dictate this, where if they're winning games, they might keep him in there. But this has certainly impacted Keon Ellis, because he's been almost out of the rotation for the last two, three games. Is he someone to stash and hold? I don't think so, unless you're very, very comfortable in the standings and you don't need that roster spot at all. I'm just not sure how high his upside is at this point and whether it's worth stashing in a standard league. Deeper leagues, absolutely. But it is weird, though, that they have moved him out of the rotation, because he is arguably their best defender.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm generally in lockstep with Adam on this one. I don't think you need to stash Keon Ellis. And on Monk, provided the Kings keep winning and scoring 140 points a game, I mean, I put that up every ball game, I think the experiment will last. I'll just add one little cherry on top. I think you could probably get something pretty good for Malik Monk in a trade right now. He's had these giant games, the ones without DeMar DeRozan, and then, you know, a couple after moving into the starting lineup. He's obviously going to be a lot better with this larger role, more minutes, etc. But sometimes guys pop into a bigger role, run really hot, and then the fantasy community is like, oh, sweet, he's just a top 40 player now. Probably not the case. I would love to have been the guy who picked up Malik Monk right when DeMar went down. But I think you can turn it even into a better situation by trying to move him for someone who's maybe a little bit safer. And there are definitely managers out there that want to be a part of whatever this Malik Monk explosion is.
All right. Is Keon Johnson stashable as a flyer in deep leagues? If so, how deep does that league have to be?
Is very a reasonable answer to this. I don't. I mean, I know there's a few.
No
games
is also fair.
Yeah. If you go deep enough, pretty much everybody is stashable. Sure. And the Nets have, the rumors are picking up here, because December 15th is when all the free agents can get traded. And so you might see something, although usually it ends up happening a little closer to the trade deadline. Even if he plays a ton, I don't know that we're talking about a guy that's going to like break the fantasy bank. So I would say, I don't know. Definitely not a normal size league. I think you got to be at 20 or above to be really thinking about a stash here, especially because as the Nets add their bodies back in, which is coming up, his minutes are going to trend back down into the teens again. So I don't know. Adam, are you in any leagues that are large enough to roster Keon Johnson right now? I'm currently not.
No, other than dynasty leagues where we've got 30 teams, but dynasty is a different beast, obviously, because it's all about stashing and targeting future talent. In terms of
hates it because the old men are not worth a lot in those.
No, they're going the wrong way. Although this is like probably the number one reason I don't play dynasty is that I would continually like, I'd never go full rebuild. I would just be like trying to tweak my team back like a year and a half in age every couple of seasons. Like, I'll give you Chris Paul, but you got to give me a 37-year-old back. Is that okay? I'm just gonna extend my window a little bit more.
You'd be one of those mid-market NBA teams that never make it to the finals.
Yeah, totally. I'd be like
Chicago.
I'd be the 7 seed every year. Yeah. This is fun. there'd be one year where all my old guys stayed healthy and I'd win it, and it would just enable me to do it for the next 30 seasons after that.
Oh, right. No, the answer is no. 20 teams, I think, is where I'd be targeting Keon Johnson. Brooklyn, there's no rhyme or reason to what they're doing at the moment. They basically just roll out whoever's shooting the ball the best on any given night. Insert player name here. It's your turn to go and play 30 minutes. So it's pretty tough to know who we would view as a stash in Brooklyn. But yeah, I think 20 team leagues, maybe you could look at it. And here's the final question.
Yeah, and this is one that you mentioned before, Adam, and I'll start with you on it. How soon does Wemby pass Jokic as the best player in fantasy?
Well, this was a pretty hot topic coming into the season, and it was basically people were in one of two boats, the Wemby number one pick boat or the Jokic number one pick boat, and you actually have one of each on this show with you today because Dan was a Jokic and I was a Wemby.
No way. Dan, like the older guy?
What a surprise. I was on the Jokic side.
I think Jokic has been unbelievable. How he's taken his game to another level, I just don't understand it. So at the moment, it's pretty clear that Jokic is number one. Probably by a significant margin. I'd be right there, wouldn't I, Dan? I'm just...
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, they're one and two, so it's not like, like one of us went way wrong with the first pick overall.
No. And I don't know. For me, I think it's coming. And like I said, Jokic has been phenomenal this year. If you ask... I don't know, not everyone, but I think if you were to ask a sample size of people, a lot of them would say Wemby has been disappointing. I think that was a narrative that sort of come out a little bit. But as Dan said, he's the number two player quite comfortably. So he's ahead of Shea. And so for me, I think it's coming. I think Jokic probably holds on to number one this year. And if I don't know whether you probably didn't, Bog, but Dan might have seen the Spurs game on whenever they played their last game and they beat the Pelicans. Wemby went to the locker room with this back issue that he's had. And to me, he didn't look right. Just moving on the court, he looked a little bit proppy. So I can see a world where he may miss 10 to 15 games this season as they manage him through this back injury, which only helps Jokic, obviously. So I think it's coming. I don't think it's this year. It might be next year, though.
Never, yeah. Dan. Is it never happening?
No, I'm a reasonable man at my core. So this year, my big thing with Jokic wasn't even necessarily that I thought he was going to be number one versus Wemby at number two. I just think it's easier to draft a fantasy team when you have Jokic as your first guy, because you have like, I mean, one, two, three, four, five, like five categories that are just really, really strong and almost nothing that was weak. With Wemby, there was that big blocks bump, which was awesome. Like, all of this goes into the calculation of who's going to be number one and who's going to be number two. There just weren't as many things where you were hyper elite coming right out of the chute. And I was like, all right, if I go Jokic at one, pretty much anybody that's there for me at the end of the second, beginning of the third, I can pair him. I can basically draft with my eyes closed after Jokic for like the next 2 to 3 rounds, where with Wemby, you're like, okay, I got blocks here. Maybe the field goal percent is not going to be great for a center. Maybe I should lean into that. There was a little bit more, I don't know, not like difficulty because you still have Wemby, but there was, it took, I think, more strategy to draft with Wemby than it does with Jokic. And I'm all about simplifying. In terms of when does Wemby pass Jokic, my guess is the year after next. And I don't know. I just, like, there's, at some point, the Jokic run will taper, and we'll see Wemby maybe increase his usage a little bit more. This year, we're seeing a really nice percentages bump for Wemby. Although, again, like, there's a lot of jump shots, and I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. So it's possible that this, like the 48-87, really nice splits this year compared to last season for Wembanyama, I don't know that those get better again immediately, as much as we need him to just sort of like continually, slowly do more. So give me next year for them almost like neck and neck, and then the year after that, Wemby passes him, finally says, like, this is my time. I'm going to take 22 shots a game. Let's go.
And Şengün will pass both of them really quickly, correct?
Yeah. I mean, obviously. Correct.
Yeah.
Who was he? I think, I don't know that he's the most polarizing name in fantasy sports anymore. There was like a year there where Şengün was getting everybody all hot and bothered, and now everyone's just been like, okay, yeah, that's fine. We can move on to something else now. I don't know who the new one is, but I don't think it's him anymore.
He's not the hotness anymore. He's old news.
I don't know. He's pretty soon, he's going to be an old man.
Well, hopefully with a deep playoff run before that, at least.
They look good.
I know they do look good.
They play defense like a son of a gun.
I've been paying a little bit of attention to at least the Rockets. So there is that. But hair or vasectomy, which is first?
What's my choice or my wife's choice? maybe that didn't answer the question. I hate to admit it. I'm going to be very honest. I'm always honest. It's probably going to be the vasectomy first. Because well, I can wear.
I get that.
Yeah. Like, I can wear a cow hat. I should be.
Why don't you wear a vasectomy? One of my favorite lines from Archer. So.
Phrasing.
Phrasing. Also, hey, look, our guy Nick Allen. I can't forget him. He wanted to say hello to you as we speak about your vasectomy here, of course.
What's up,
but probably not the best time to bring him up. But yes, I still do CFB Winning Edge with Nick on a week-to-week basis.
That's amazing. It's so funny when people from completely different parts of your life somehow know one another. I don't know why that's like the most entertaining.
You introduced us.
Very much is. Did I actually?
Yeah, you did. Yeah, he was. He used to work for the Helena. What is it?
Whatever
their minor league team was, I can't remember in Helena. But he met you, or Helena. Yeah. And he met you
at an Elmore Sports Group a function, I think. And then, but how did I connect you guys? Was it college football related?
He was asking you about stuff for college football and podcasting.
I remember that, right?
Yeah. And you knew that I was a big college football fan. So you introduced us, and I have been hosting the CFP Winning Edge podcast ever since then.
Adam, can you close this pod to Matchmaker from Fiddler on the Roof?
No copyright infringement, I'm sure.
I'm sure that's public domain since copyright. Like 1955. with Zero Mostel is going to come from my estate. Did I get that right? Was he Tevye? I might have gotten that wrong. Matchmaking.
You can close the show. You just sing away and
My high school girlfriend did a performance of some Fiddler songs at the University of Judaism here in Southern California. And that was the moment where I was like, oh, now I understand my heritage. And then I went off to college. Go Bears.
We have to end with Al Green. Turn off the lights and light a candle. End it.
Hit the abort button.
If only there were no copyright issues, we could really mix up the outro here, couldn't we?
I have to believe you could play Fiddler, and it would scare the crap out of a lot of NBA fans. But like four would be really happy.
They would. All right, gentlemen. Well, I've kept you both long enough. I'll let Bogman. I mean, as you said, you're not doing a lot of basketball, or any basketball stuff anymore.
Basketball.
What are you doing? Maybe people want to come and listen to you talk about other sports.
Sure. If you're interested in college football, I host CFB Winning Edge podcast, of course, with Nick Allen on Campus to Canton. I'm also over at Betting Pros, doing a lot of college football coverage over there. We're going to be talking bowls, and the new 12-team tournament is starting this year. It had been 4 and it's bumped up to 12 now. And also I'm over there doing the fantasy wrap up for the NFL every single Sunday. I'm on Out of Bounds Monday. Welsh and I are still doing In This League for baseball and football as well. So I'm just at the point in my career where every second of the day can be used to do some research or some work for something. So if you like me and you like football and baseball, I'm around. You will get tired of me very quickly. So
I like two of those three sports. Things.
So yeah, me and baseball. So
yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, that is where I am, and that is why I'm not doing much basketball at all anymore, is because I'm, you know, when I'm not covering the NFL, I'm covering baseball. And when the NFL goes away, I shift my focus to the NFL draft, and I do a lot of draft coverage as well. So at Bogman Sports on the Twitter, Scott Bogman on the Blue Sky, and all, not that I even use either one of them that much outside of retweeting my work, but I'm definitely not you guys on the Twitter. I need to be better about that. It'll probably be my New Year's resolution. But yes, if you want to follow my work, I tweet it all out. So at Bogman Sports. And thanks for having me. And thanks for setting this up, Adam. I was a total pain in the ass to Adam. And I have to apologize. I pushed this back a couple times. And
Adam, I work with Dan. I'm used to delays and pushbacks. So I'm fine.
Did he at least tell you that I was also flaking and needed to push back? Like
last week, I was ready to go, and that's obviously he had stuff to do. So, but that was it. The others were like, he asked me in September, and I'm like, this is the worst time to ask me because the NFL is starting and college football is starting, and I'm starting a new job. So it was like all at the same time. So, college football regular season is over. So glad I could come and talk to you. And maybe next time we can scrounge up Jonas and see what he's doing.
I was about to say, Adam, you got your next task on the list here.
It's already on the list. Don't worry.
He's like a famous soccer coach now, I think, right? There were
he moved people to Argentina. Nobody knows where he is. Is that what it is?
Yeah. That's something like that. I know it's soccer. Yeah. I don't know.
It is. Yeah, I think it is. Dan, yeah, I mean, people know who you are. Tell them about Old Man Squad.
I'm an old man. I got to do one thing here. My closing remarks are, so we do all these old man jokes. And I love it. And it's the name of the network. And like, I very much lean into it. But then people will just assume that I want every single old player on my team. I really should have named my channel like Boring Fantasy. I want boring players who put up numbers. They don't have to be old. If you could be 25, and if you're just putting up boring numbers, I'm all about that. But when the example I always use is when Kyle Lowry moved to Miami, and I was like, no, we're out on this. He's just old now. He's no longer a squad member. So please don't just pick up every 38-year-old in the NBA and be like, oh, Dan wants this. I need them to be boring, consistent year-to-year producers. And also, you don't have to be an old man to be part of the Old Man Squad network. You just have to draft old people on your fantasy team. So I needed to clear those things up. You can very much be a grumpy old woman. You would be very welcome. So come play. But I promise not to talk about my vasectomy.
Well, maybe people want that. I don't know.
Don't make promises you can't keep, Dan.
Yeah, that's true. That was dumb.
All right. Well, I'm going to let you both go, and I'm going to go. So thank you again, Bogman, for finding the time, squeezing us in to talk about a sport that you don't cover anymore.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you for putting up with my delays. I appreciate you.
No, it was good. It was hopefully Dan enjoyed the surprise.
Oh, my God. And you couldn't see it on my face?
Yeah, we did. I'll try and make that the thumbnail maybe.
We need that. We need that graphic.
We do.
You have a bunch of very small video clips to pull out of this one.
Oh, yes. A lot. Yes.
God help me.
All right. Well, that will do for today's show. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. I am Adam King. He is Scott Bogman. He is Dan Bespris. This has been the Balls Deep podcast. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.